Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Erevin Daf Tzadi Gimel. We're holding on the top of Daf Tzadi Gimel Amar Aleph, and we were in the middle of a discussion yesterday. First of all, today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We were in the middle of a discussion yesterday whether walls can ever be something that creates more of an issur instead of allowing more carrying. So the daf begins to continue to try to challenge Abaye's assertion that a wall can never create a chumrah. So we had two challenges yesterday, and we're going to have two more challenges today, where we see apparently that a wall can create a chumrah, and Abaye is going to answer each challenge. Then the Gemara is going to talk about cases where you have three karpifos, one right next to each other, three enclosures next to each other of a group of three people that were traveling together when Shabbos came, and we're going to discuss what the halacha is in terms of carrying from within those karpifos, when we assume that you have to measure them as one big karpif, when we assume that we measure them separately. The Gemara is then going to have two opinions about Gidul Chamisha Umechitza Chamisha. Let's say you have a chatzar that's elevated above a neighboring chatzar by 5 tefachim, and it has a 5 tefach wall built on that elevation. So from the perspective of the bottom chatzar, there's 10 tefachim of wall. From the perspective of the top chatzar, there's only 5 tefachim of wall. So do those two chatzeros have the right to join together in an Eruv, or are they allowed to even make Eruv in separately? Is this considered that there's a wall between them or not? And then the Gemara is going to discuss a beginning discussion that's going to lead all the way to the next daf, whether the halacha of carrying in a chatzar can change in middle of Shabbos. Do we assume kivun shehutra hutra, that once everything was okay when Shabbos started, even if walls come down and more diurin come and windows are closed up or whatever, that everything is mutter? Or do we assume that no, circumstances can change even in the middle of Shabbos? So let's begin where at Amalei Rabba Barav Chanon La Abaye, on the fourth line, beginning of the fourth line of the page on Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph. So again, Abaye had suggested that you never really find that a wall is going to introduce a chumrah in Hilchas Erevin. So Amalei Rabba Rav Chanon La Abaye, Lo Matzin Mechitzel Isser? Really? You never find a wall that creates a chumrah, that creates an Isser? V'atanya Abaye, Shechatya Mekura V'chatya Ayin Mekura. If you have a house that is half roofed and half not roofed, Gefanim Kan Mutal Lizra'a Kan. If you have Gefanim on one side, then you're allowed to plant Zra'im on the other side, and it's not a violation of Kilei HaKerem, and you have to distance the Zra'im from the vines by 4 amos, because we assume Pitikra Yared V'Sosem, that the edge of the roof that goes halfway through the house is viewed Halachul Moshe Misinai as if it goes down and closes off that area, and when you have a Mechitza, you're allowed to plant up until that Mechitza. So V'ilu Hishmes Kiruyo Aser, but if you were to add to the roof and make it a full roof, now it's going to be Aser. Now you're not allowed to plant Kalayim within 4 amos of each other. You're not allowed to plant vines and Zrayim within 4 amos of each other. So you see that by adding to the roof, by being Mosif Mechitza, you're actually creating a Chumrah. So Amalei, no, Hasim Silik Mechitzos Hu. That's not a case of adding Mechitza. By adding to the roof, you're actually removing the Pitikra Mechitza. So it's actually blocking off a Mechitza, very similar to what we had yesterday. Now, Rashi and Tosos both explain that the heter is because Pitikra Yared V'Sosem. And even though Shmuel holds the Gabe Shabbos, that you don't say Pitikra Yared V'Sosem unless you have 4 mechitzos, nevertheless, we could be mechalik that by Klayim, even on only one side, we're going to say Pitikra Yared V'Sosem. Meaning, apparently, the rules of when we say Pitikra Yared V'Sosem are different for Shabbos than they are for Klayim. Why would that be the case? So the Mikdash David explains that when it comes to Shabbos, the Iker is not that there be mechitzos. The ikar is that you have a makom that is mukaf mechitzos. So regardless of whether a mechitza is a mechitza or not, if the area is an area that's considered to be surrounded by mechitzos, and it therefore becomes a rishos hayachin, that's the ikar when it comes to Shabbos. When it comes to klayim, it's about separating one side from the other. Really, the din is about the mechitza itself. So when it comes to Shabbos, I understand that one mechitza is going to depend on the other mechitzos, because it's not about any one mechitza. It's about creating an area that's mukaf mechitzos. So I understand that you need it from all dalet ruchos. But when it comes to klayim, it's about the mechitza itself. So it's going to have a different parameters of what's considered a mechitza. And based on that, the Marsham in Chelek Dalet Siman Tanayin Aleph in the Tshuvas answers a kasha of the Mishkanos Yaakov that we had said back on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph that a Tzuras HaPesach Menatzad, if you don't have the Kana Al Gabayim, you have a Kana Mikan, V'Kana Mikan, but not Kana Al Gabayim, the post on top it hits the side posts on their sides, it doesn't rest on top of the side posts. So we had said a Tzuras HaPesach Menatzad works for Klayim, it does not work for Shabbos. Why would it make a difference? So the Marsham says, Lagabe Klayim, you don't need a mechitza the way you need a mechitza by Shabbos. By Klayim, the mechitza is just to make a heker to separate the two sides. Whereas by Shabbos, you need an actual Tzuras HaPesach, meaning the Gedarim are going to be different when it comes to Shabbos and when it comes to Klayim. Also, another issue that comes up is this whole case that we're talking about is planting inside of a house. The Achronim aren't so certain that it's a violation of Klayim when you plant inside of a house. If you look in the Torah says, Sadcha lo tizra klayim, lo tizra karmacha klayim. So it could be that it's only in the Sada, in the Kerem, that the Torah asks us planting klayim. It could be in the Bayis, it's mutter. After all, there's Yerushalmi in Meseches Arla that has a very similar drasha when it comes to maisos, that a tree that's planted betocha Bayis is potter min a maisos. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Aser tza aser is called to asaracha, hayotze hasada shana shana. So Sada v'lo Bayis. And therefore, Rav Yosef Engel in the Gilyonei HaShas, in his commentary on the Yerushalmi section of the Gilyonei HaShas, is not sure what the halacha would be when it comes to klayim inside the house. So the Ragachavar in the Tzafnas Panach on the Rambam says that based on this drasha, you cannot aser klayim b'bayis min haTorah. But he says it's still aser midrabanan, because just like the Rambam writes by Maestros, that an ilan that you plant in the house is chayiv Maestros midrabanan, so enochinami, this is enough to tell us that it's not chayiv for klayim min haTorah in the house, but midrabanan, it's still going to be chayiv mishum klayim. Chazanish writes in Shavias, Simil Chavav, that planting klayim in a house is aser midaraisa, but you can't learn, what about the Yerushalmi that is Medayik? You can't learn from the Yerushalmi about Meiser to be Matir Klayim in a Bayis. We're not allowed to make our own drushos. The Yerushalmi made such a drusha by Meiser, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're allowed to make that drusha wherever we want. So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that by Chumas and Meisos, the Pasuk says, Hayotze Asada Shana Shana, so we're Memayid Bayis, because the Pasuk could have just said Eretz. By Shvius also, could have said Eretz, and the Lashon of Sada is therefore a miut. As opposed to by Klayim, there are a lot of halachos that we derive from the fact that the Torah used the word Sadcha. For example, the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Tes says Sadcha is lema'id chutz la'aretz, and if there's a Sada that's Zeruah Chitim, that another person is allowed to put a field next to it that's Zeruah with Sa'orim, because the difference in Bailus from one field to the next is considered a division between the fields. And Rosh Tur, there are all sorts of halachos that are derived from the word Sada. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe the Yerushalmi was able to make that drush about Maisos because there was an alternative way that the Torah could have described it, and it didn't, so by using the word Sada, it must be that it's coming to be Mema'id Bayis. But maybe when it comes to Klayim, there's no other way the Torah could have said it, and therefore it's not coming to be Mema'id Bayis. Okay, back in the Gemara, challenge number four right now to be Miyashev to the idea that Mechitza can never add a chumrah. So Shalach Rav Abaye biyad Rav Shmaya Bar Zeira. Rav sent a message with Rav Shmaya Bar Zeira that he told Rav Shmaya Bar Zeira to ask Abaye this kasha that v'lo matzino mechitza l'iser. Is it really true mechitza never introduced an iser? V'atani yesh b'mechitza kerem l'hakel u'achmir. Sometimes putting up a mechitza in the kerem creates a kula. That's the normal case. It will create a kula by putting up a mechitza. You're going to block the kerem from whatever you want to plant around it or near it. But sometimes it's a chumrah. Ketad, how does it play out in both directions? Kereman to add ikr mechitza zoreya mikr mechitza ve'elach. She'ilu ain't shom mechitza marchik arba amos v'zoreya v'zeo mechitza kerem lahakel. The easy case is, the simple case is, where mechitza provides a kula. That if you have a mechitza in a kerem on one side of the mechitza, you can plant Mitzrayim on the other side of the Mechitza, no worries, the Mechitza divides. But if you didn't have that Mechitza there, you would need to be Marchik Dalet Amos. Okay, good, that's the easy part. Now, Lahachmir, Ketzad, what would be an example of Lahachmir where a Mechitza creates a Chumra in the Kerem, Hayamashach Menachos Alachas Shayamba? If, let's say, the vines end 11 Amos away from the wall that surrounds the Kerem, Lo Yavizara L'Sham, you're not allowed to plant Zrayim anywhere in between the Kerem and the 11 Amos, in that 11 Amos space to the wall. Had there not been a mechitza around the kerem, all you would need to do is distance 4 amos. And by distancing 4 amos, that would be good enough. You would then be allowed to be zareya. But over here, if you distance 4 amos, you're not allowed to plant zareim. Why? Why? Just because the kerem is surrounded by a wall, you're not allowed to plant. You're not allowed to plant zareim. So the assumption is that because it's surrounded by a wall, you're not going to be able to plant enough zareim that's going to be an independent field. And if it's not an independent field, we assume it's bottled to the kerem. If it's just wide open area, so you could potentially plant zrayim all the way as much as you want, and then therefore it could have a chashivus and an independence to it. But since it's not a wide open area, you're going to be very limited in how much zrayim you're going to be able to plant, and because of that, the amount that you're going to be able to plant when it's less than 12 amos between the kerem and the wall is not enough to be an independent field of zrayim, and therefore it's going to be bottled to the kerem, and that's going to be kilei kerem. So Abai responds, instead of bringing you think you're going to bring a raya that there's a mechitza le'iser, you should have asked me from a mishnah titnan, because the mishnah says in Maseches Klayim, karachas hakerem, if you have a bald spot in the middle of the kerem, meaning you have vines planted but right in the middle there's nothing planted, so Beishami omrim, Beishami says if you want to be able to plant other things there, you need esrim va'arba amos, you need a 24 amos square in order to be able to plant other things there. Beisalam shesh, you don't need 24 amos, you only need 16 amos. Mechola kerem, if you have an area around the kerem that's empty, Beis Shammai says you need 16 amos between the end of the kerem and the wall that surrounds it, and Beis Shammai says you only need 12 amos between the end of the kerem and the wall that surrounds it in order to be able to plant Zrayim. But any less than 12 amos, as we've been saying, is not going to be good enough. So now we're going to explain why. Well, why do you need these numbers? Vezli karach sakerem, kerem shecharvem tzi'iso. So karach sakerem means that there's a kerem, but in the middle of the kerem, it's empty. If you don't have a 16 amos of open area, then you're not allowed to plant other items in the empty space, even a single tefach of other items in the empty space, in the empty space, because the gefanim that are surrounding that area need to have 4 amos on each side in order to do kidei avodas hakerem, in order to do the whatever work needs to be done in the kerem. So right next to the kerem, you definitely need 4 amos of empty space, and that 4 amos of empty space has a din of a kerem. And if you don't have another 8 amos beyond those 4 amos of empty space, then it's not going to be a significant enough area planted to be considered its own independent field. So if you have only 7.9 amos of zrayim planted in the middle, and then plus the 4 amos between that and the and where the vines actually start, it's not going to be enough. It's going to be bottled to the kerem. So that's why Basil says, what do you need? You need 16 amos, because you have 4 amos on each side of the of these zrayim, plus 8 amos of the zrayim themselves. That's 16 amos. But anything less than 16 amos is not going to work. Hayusham sheishas reyama nosin lo kedei avodas of zareya samoser. But if there's 16 amos, then you can leave 4 amos empty on each side and plant the 8 amos in the middle. So 8 amos is considered a chashuv enough area to plant that it's considered its own field and not bottled to the kerem. And now in the reverse case, not where the bald spot is in the middle of the kerem, but where the kerem is in the middle and there are walls that surround it, but there's empty space between the vines and the walls, veizim mechala kerem ben akerem legeder shim im ein sham shteimes reyama. If you don't have 12 amos between the kerem and the geder, lo yavizera l'sham, then you cannot plant anything else there. Hayusham shteimes reyama. But if you had 12 amos between the kerem Karam and the Geder, then good. Nosim lo kedei avodasim v'zoreh samosar. Leave four amos right next to the vines, because that's always considered part of the Karam. The four amos next to the vines are considered part of the Karam. And then zoreh samosar. Then that you're still left with eight more amos that you could plant other things, and that would be fine. But anything less than 12 amos is not going to afford you that space. So you see, in this Mishnah, you already see the din of Mechala Kerem, that a Mechitza that surrounds a Kerem makes it a bigger Chumrah. So Abaye's response is a little bit of a funny response. They attack him and they say, well, what about the din of Mechala Kerem? You see that a Mechitza adds a Chumrah. He says, what are you asking me for? Ask me from a Beferish Mishnah. So he's making the Kasha on himself stronger. So now the Abaye says, but by the way, I have an answer to that Kasha on me, to that Raya against me. You can't bring a Raya from Mechala Kerem. The reason for the Isser of Mechitza Kerem is not because the Mechitza Asers. It's the Kol Arba Amos, Gabi Kerem, Avodas Kerem, that the first four Amos right next to the Kerem are therefore Avodas Kerem and therefore are considered part of the Kerem. And the Gabi Geder, the first four Amos next to the wall, Kivin de Lomazdaran, since they're not Royal Izria, because plowing right near the wall would destroy a wall, it would rattle the foundations of the wall. Safkuri mafkir luhu. The owner of the kerem is mafkir it and he's mevatel it to the mechitza. So it's not mitzdaref to the amos that are in the middle. To beni beni. So the space in between. Iika arba chashivan. Chashivan. If there are four amos where you can actually plant something, that's a makum chashuv. Vilo lo chashivan. And if there aren't four amos, it's not a makum chashuv. Wait a second. Didn't we say before that in the karachza kerem you needed eight amos? Yeah, the reason you needed eight amos is because you might view it as two separate. If you cut it down the middle, you'll view it as two separate fields. That on the one side you have four amos, and then the space, and then the kerem, and in the other side four amos, then the space, then the kerem. But it's really four amos that's the magic number. So when you have kerem in the middle, and then empty space around it, and then a wall around that, so the wall itself gets four amos of empty space in order to maintain the structural integrity of the wall. The kerem gets four amos in order to have avodas hakerem. So that's part of the kerem. And then in between those four amos and those four amos, you need another four amos to be able to plant something else in order for it to be a makum chashuv in its own right. So the Achronim point out, okay, so you gave me a svara as to why it's so. But bottom line, it's still so that by having a mechitza there, you're creating a chumrah that you otherwise wouldn't have. Meaning, if there was no mechitza there, you would be able to plant even if the way it's situated now with the mechitza is that the mechitza is less than 12 amos away. So if we had the mechitza not been there, you'd be able to plant other things in that area. So how does that help? So the Achronim explain that we assume that it's not really the mechitza that's creating the iser; it's the makom that's creating the iser. It's not the wall that creates the iser; it's the amount of plantable area that's creating the iser. And as long as you have plantable area, that's four amos or more. So good. So then you don't have any iser. Okay. Now the Gemara discusses a second topic. I'm going to be the Shalosh Karpefos Zebetzadzeh. You have three Karpefos, three areas that are surrounded by some makeshift mechitzos, one right next to the other. I mean, the case is three people are traveling on the road, and each one makes a Karpef to spend Shabbos in, but they did not put real mechitzos around it, meaning a real mechitzo would be Shesi Ve'arev. It would mean that there's a lattice that goes in both directions, or a solid wall, or something like that. Instead, they made mechitzos of either chassis or arev. They made a mechitza of either just poles or strings that go around the area. So those aren't real full-fledged mechitzos, just chassis or arev. Those are what we call mechitzos geruos. So those mechitzos would work to make the area inside of them a reshus yachid only if the area inside of them is less than a beis sasayim. Unless there are three people that live there, then it would be a shayara, and then it could be surrounded by such mechitzos even if it's bigger than a beis sasayim. So if somehow we were to be able to say that there are three people that live in this area, then we don't have to worry about the size of the area, even though it's mechitzos geruos, it would be a perfectly fine reshus hayachid. So what happened? You have three people traveling, and they each build a karpev zeh b'tzad zeh. They all line up one after the other. Shnayim achitzonim megufafim, haimtzai enu megufaf. Megufafim means that the outer ones are wider than the middle one. The middle one is narrower, and therefore, from the perspective of the outer ones, there actually is some somewhat of a wall on the fourth side, because their area is wider than the middle area, so up until the point where it borders the middle area, there is some wall on their fourth side. But from the perspective of the middle one, it's parut b'miluo on each side that it borders the other areas. So v'yachid b'zeh, V'yachid b'zeh, and there's a yachid in each of the karpefos, and it should say v'yachid b'zeh, and in the third one as well, meaning there are these three areas, and there's a yachid in each one. Nasa k'shayara, that becomes, the middle one becomes like a shayara of three people, because those who live in a large chatzer that borders on a narrower chatzer are considered to have some rights in the narrower chatzer, so therefore they're considered residents of the middle chatzer as well. So since the guys at both ends are considered residents of the middle area as well, so that's like you have three people. That's a shayara, v'noslan called tzarchan, and therefore it doesn't matter how large of an area it is. It could be yoser and beis asayim, and it's fine because you have a shayara. You have three people here. Emtsayim megufaf u'shneim echitanim enem megufaf. And if the middle area was wider than the other two, so then v'yach b'zeh, and you have a yach in each one. Einoslan ela beis sheish. Then they only have up until beis asayim for each of the karpefos. Because then it's not considered a shayara, and only when you have a shayara of three people does that take care of the space restraints, and does it allow you to have more than a beis hasayim for each one. So those are the cases that no one argues. So Yibaylu says Gemara, but what about the following situation? What if it's ech b'zeh u'shnayim b'emtsayim mahu? What if you have a case where the emtsay is megufaf, the chitzonim are eino megufafim, right? The middle one is wider than the outer ones, but there's one guy in each of the outer ones. There are two people that live in the middle one. Is that considered to be a shayara? So, meaning the point is that the people in the middle ones have some rights in the outer ones, but how do you view it? Ilach and afkilu tlasavu. If the two guys in the middle were to go in one direction, they'd be a shayara of three. Ilach and afkilu tlasavu. If they would go to the other side, they'd also be a shayara of three. And therefore, maybe we should say that it's all a shayara and it's all perfectly fine. Odil machadach and or maybe we assume that the two guys in the middle, one of them is going to go to that end, and one of them is going to go to that end, and no area is going to have three people, and therefore it will turn out that they're limited to the base of Sayim because they are not a Shayara. And if you're going to say Luchumra, you're going to say that, no, I cannot view this as a Shayara because I have to be Choshesh that the two guys in the middle are going to split, one guy over there, one guy over there, it's going to be two and two, you're not going to have three and in any given location. So then what if you had the following? What if you had two people in each of the extreme, in each of the outer ones, and one guy in the middle one? So whichever way he goes, that would create a shayara. Do I say that since whichever way he goes, it's going to create a shayara, it's going to create a caravan of people, and memela we can allow the outer karpefos, even if it's very large, even if it's bigger than Beis Hasayim, Odilma, Emelach Nafik, Emelach Nafik, or maybe I have to say that I have to assume from the perspective of one of the outer Karpifos, maybe the guy's going to go to the other one. I don't know if he's going to come to me, and therefore I don't know that I have a Shayara. And from the perspective of the other one, maybe he's going to go to the other one. So you don't know if you have a Shayara, so maybe none of them have a din of a Shayara. Vilchsa Bayin Lekula. We pass in Halacha that we go Lekula. That since that if there's one person in the middle karpef and two people on each of the outer ends, either in that case or in a case where there are two people in the middle and one person on each of the outer ends, we view all the karpefos as if three people live there, and therefore it's mutter no matter how large the area is. Rashash raises a question: why do you have to even say hilchsa bayin lekula? This is Maseches Erevin. The halacha is always lekula. The halacha by any suffix in Erevin is lekula. So why do you have to say hilchsa bayin lekula? So the Rashash writes that according to the Rambam, you understand, because the Rambam has a klal in halacha that whenever you have a series of shailas, that is it A or is it B? And imtim tzilomar B, is it C or is it D? We always paskin like the imtim tzilomar. It's a klal that the Rambam has, that even though the Gemara leaves it unresolved, you always paskin like the imtim tzilomar. So over here, the imtim tzilomar is l'chumra. So that's why the Gemara has gone out of its way to say, we're not paskin like the imtim tzilomar over here. So that's if if you hold like that klal of the Rambam. Other Achronim suggest, the Shem Yishimon suggests, that the klal of Safik Rabbanan Lekula is only in the case where the Safik has already been raised, it's already happened. But you're not allowed to do a Maisa that's going to create a Safik Rabbanan. So the Gemara has say over here, Lekula, that you're even allowed to do this L'Chadchila. That's a great Chiddush. Normally you're not allowed to create a Safik Rabbanan Lekula. That's a question the Achronim discuss, Prima Gadim and others discuss, are you allowed to create a Svek Sveka on the Daraisa Lekula? Meaning, how do we assume, or Shimon discusses in Shari Yosher, what's a Svek Sveka? Is a Svek Sveka that there's no Leidas HaSafik Bechlal, meaning that any din of Safik is only when it's a Vadai Safik, but if it's a Safik Safik, if it's a Svek Sveka, then it's called that it's not even that there's a Leidas HaSafik, it's as if there's no doubt at all and everything's totally fine? Or do we assume a Svek Sveka is an actual Safik, but we're allowed to be Machria Lekula on a Svek Sveka? Nafkamina would be, many Nafkaminas, but one of the Nafkaminas would be, are you allowed to create a Svek Sveka L'Chadchila? If it's not a Leidas HaSafik Bechlal, so yeah, no problem, you create a Svek Sveka L'Chadchila, there's no Leidas HaSafik. So that may also depend on how you understand why Svek Sveka works to begin with. There are three basic shitos in Rishonim as to why Svek Sveka works. But one of the shitos is that if you assume Safik Daraisa L'chumra is itself only a Din D'Rabbanan, like Shitas HaRambam, then maybe the Pesha points out Svek Sveka is a Safik on the Din of Safik Daraisa L'chumra, which is really a Safik D'Rabbanan. Ah, so if that's how Svek Sveka works, then you cannot create a Svek Sveka L'chadchila, just like you're not allowed to create a Safik D'Rabbanan L'kula L'chadchila, as we're saying over here. That's why, because you're not allowed to create a Safik D'Rabbanan L'kula, that's what the Shem Yishimon says. That's why we have to say V'hilchsa Bayin L'kula in this case. Amar Rav Chista. So next case, says the Gemara. Gidul Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha. Let's say you have an elevation difference between two neighboring fields of 5 Tfachim. That one is 5 Tfachim above the other one, and Mechitza Chamisha. And then you have an additional 5 Tfachim of wall that are built above the surface of the higher field. So in Mitztarfin, that it's not considered to be Mitztarif to create a Mechitza. Ache O Kula Begidud, O Kula BeMechitza. It needs to be all of one or the other. Meaning, even though it's true that a 10 tefach elevation is considered a separation, that's like a mechitza between the fields, and it's true that a 10 tefach mechitza would be a proper separation between the fields, but you cannot combine the two. You cannot combine gidud and mechitza, which leads all the achronim to discuss, what about in other areas of halacha? Can you combine a little bit of this and a little bit of that when either one would work? There are poskim that discuss, if I recall correctly, there are poskim that discuss, you know, the Torah quotes that when it comes to saying mashav ruach merda geshem, so for the first 30 days, you assume, if you don't know, you assume that you didn't say it, because you assume that that you do whatever you're in the habit of doing. So the Torah quotes such a shita that just like the Gemara says in Baba Kama, that richik negichosav is going to be a more kirv negichosav lokolshkein, that if an animal gores for 3 days in a row, and we assume it's a dangerous animal, so if it does it 3 times straight in the same day, kal v'chomer, so maybe there's such a thing that you could accustom yourself to saying mashav ruach merda geshem by saying it 90 times. And there are some shuls, Rabbi Willick shul has the minhag that they sing in Simchas Torah 90 times. They sing the whole paragraph of the Mashav Ruach Merda Geshem, and that way they get in the habit of saying it properly. So some of the posts can discuss, what if they're toning down that kafos this year because of COVID? They only did 45 times. They only sang it 45 times. So now in the next 15 days, do you assume that you're accustomed? Or do you say, no, you get two options. You can either go the long way or you can go the short way, but you can't do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So that's the discussion. Gidul Chamitza, Mechitza Chamisha. It comes up in other places as well. The Shar Ephraim discusses, someone wants to light Neros Chanukah, some with wax and some with oil. Either one is fine, either one is kosher, but does that work to do a little bit of one and a little bit of the other? And in the Shar Ephraim, in the Tshuva Siman Lamedtes, he compares it to Gidul Chamisha and Mechitza Chamisha, which is an interesting comparison. The Rambam writes in Sefer Torah that's written Miktsasu ala Gvil, and Miktsasu ala Klaf is possible. It's got to be either all on Gvil or all on Klaf, meaning when they take the parchment and they slice it widthwise, so there's the part that was the outer skin and the part that you just exposed by slicing it. So either one is technically kosher, but the entire Sefer Torah has got to be on one or the other. So the Shvus Yaakov says, where did the Rambam get that from? It must be the Gidul Chamisha Mechitza Chamisha. that that you can't combine two perfectly valid things, but they're separate from each other. They're two mahalchim. You're not allowed to combine them together. That's what he suggests is the basis of the Rambam. So anyway, so back to our case over here. So he said, give the chamisha mechitza chamisha. It's not mitzdarif. It's not a mechitza. So ask the Gemara on Rav Chista. Meisvei, I have a brisa. Shtei chatzeros zulam alamizu. You have two chatzeros of uneven elevations. Elyon gavah menatachton asar tefach moshiyish ba. Oh, sheyish ba gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha. If either there's a ten tefach difference, so that's a gidul asara. Or there's a gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha. It's five tefachim of a difference of elevation plus five tefachim of wall. Ma'arvin shnayim ve'ein ma'arvin echad. Then there are two separate chatzeros. It's as if they're separated by a wall. They have to make two separate eruv, and they may not join together in the same eruv. Pachos mikan ma'arvin echad ve'ein ma'arvin shnayim. If the wall is less than ten tefachim in total, so then they can make one eruv together, but they cannot make two separate distinct eruvin. But bottom line is, you see, gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha is mitzdarif against Rav Chista. So Rava Moda Rav Chista b'tachtona halvra p'nei asara. No, Rav Chista is going to be Moda that gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha counts as a wall klape the tachtona, klape the bottom chatzar, because the people in the bottom chatzar are looking at 10 tefachim of wall. It's the people in the top chatzar that are only looking at 5 tefachim of wall, and then there's a 5 tefach drop. But from the perspective of the people in the bottom chatzar, for sure they're not allowed to join with the top chatzar, and they're allowed to make their own independent eruv. Iach, if that's the case, that gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha is mitzdarif only litzad the bottom chatzar and not mitzad the top chatzar. So why does the Brisa say ma'arvin shnayim ve'in ma'arvin echad? Really, tachtona ta'arif shnayim, the bottom chatzar should be able to make its own independent eruv, but velo ta'arif echad, but it cannot join with the Elyona. Elyona lo ta'arif lo echad velo shnayim. This should preclude the top chatzar from doing any sort of eruv, because the top chatzar can't make their own eruv, because what they're looking at is not a mechitza. They only have five tfachim that they're looking at, so they're wide open to the bottom chatzar. They can't make a joint eruv together with the bottom chatzar, because the bottom chatzar is not allowed to join with them, because from the bottom chatzar's perspective, there's a ten tefach wall between them. So how can you say how can the Brisa just say that ma'arvin shnayim vein ma'arvin echad? It's not true. The Elyona can't be ma'ariv at all. Sans Gemara, Amra Barula kigon shayis Elyona mugufefes adeser amos. The case must be that the Elyona is wider than the Tachtona. So the Elyona opens to the Tachtona in an area that's less than 10 amos wide, and therefore, but the Elyona itself is way more than 10 amos wide, and the Elyona is surrounded by real mechitzos on all other sides. So the Elyona has real 10 tefachai mechitzos on three full sides, and partially even on the fourth side. It's just that the mechitza dips to 5 tefachim from the perspective of the Elyona in the less than 10 ame area where it actually borders the tachtona. What's that? That's a pesach. So from the Elyona's perspective, they're surrounded by mechitzos on all four sides. They just have a pesach to the tachtona. So Mela, the Elyona, is able to make their own eruv because they actually are surrounded by mechitzos. Ihach, he says, Gemara Ema Seifa, how you explain the end of the Braisa, where it says that if Pachos Mikan, that if the mechitza was less than 5 tefachim, Marvin Echad Vein Marvin Shnayim, then the two chatzeros joined together in an eruv, but they may not have separate eruvin. So, but why should that be the case? If the Elyona really has 10 tefach walls on all four sides, and it's just that it's got this pesach in between of less than 10 amos to the tachtona, Ibai Chatariv, Ibai Treitariv, then the Elyona should still have the option of making their own eruv. They shouldn't have to join with the tachtona. They're really surrounded with mechitzos on all four sides. We're talking about the case where the bottom chatzer is only the entire width of the bottom chatzer is less than 10 amos. So on that fourth side, it is totally open to the Elyona. So if there's not a 10 tefach wall between them, the chatzer tachtona is nifritza b'milua to the Elyona, and the Dayari Elyona will aser on the residents of the Tachtona, like a Chatzar Gedola that's Nifras of the Katana, where the Gedola is Mukteris and the Katana is Asura, unless they make an Erev together with each other. So that's what it means. Pachs Mikan Marvin Echav Eim Marvin Shnayim. Ihachi, if that's the case, though, that the Tachtona is so narrow, so then really the Halacha should be Tachtona Chad Te'ariv, Trey Lo Te'ariv, that the Tachtona has to join together with the Elyona in an Erev. It cannot make its own Erev because it's the difference of Bimilua. Elyona, if by a traitar, if you buy a chatar, but the Elyona should still have options. If it wants, it should be able to make its own separate Eruv, because the Tachtona doesn't cause it problems. The Elyona is surrounded by Mechitz on all four sides, and just has a Pesach to the Tachtona. Or if the Elyona wants to utilize that Pesach and join together with the Tachtona and Eruv, so that has that option as well. But the Elyona should really have these options. So says the Gemara, you're right. Enachinami. The Elyona are allowed to make their own independent Eruv. But didn't it say in the Braisa that if the Mechitza is less than a total of 10 Tvachim, then they must make a joint Eruv? They're not allowed to make independent Eruvin? That's a tachtona. That means that the tachtona is not allowed to make an independent eruv. But in Achinami, the Elyona is allowed to do whichever one it wants. If it wants to be nice and join together with the tachtona and make a joint eruv together, good, they could do that. But the Elyona still has the right to make their own independent eruv. So again, what did we say so far? Just to reorient ourselves over here, we started by saying gidu chamisha mechitza chamisha. The Rav Chisda said that a gidu chamisha chamitza Mechitza Chamisha is Ein Mitztarfin, that they're not Mitztarif with each other. You need Okulub Gidud, Okulub Mechitza. So now says the Gemara, not everyone agrees to that. Darish Mareimar, Gidud Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, Mitztarfin, that it is Mitztarif. You can combine a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So Ashke, Ravina, Ravacha, Bred Rava, Amrlei, Tani Mar Midi Bemechitza. So he asked him, hey, did you learn any Braisa about Siruf of Gidud and Mechitza? Do you have any tradition about this? Amalei, lo. He says, no, I don't have any prices about that. That's the conversation. The Rosh Hash wonders, like, why? Why? You know, why tell us what they didn't learn? You know, if he was going to. So anyway, Vilsa Gidu Chamisha Mechitz Chamisha Mitzarf. At the end of the day, the halacha is that they are Mitzarf if you have a Gidu Chamisha and Mechitz Chamisha. Now says Gemara, a new shayla, a new topic. By Rav Hoshaya, Yurin Abon B'Shabbos Ma'u Shei Asu. Let's say the area is exposed to new residents on Shabbos. You had two chatzeros that were right next to each other, but there was a wall between them. So each chatzer made their own independent eruv. And then in the middle of Shabbos, the wall comes down. A hurricane or whatever, the wall comes down. So now they're exposed to the diurin in the other chatzer. So do they now asur on each other? On Arab Shabbos, they were fine. So Amar El Chista Tashma, I'll bring you a raya from a Mishnah, from our Mishnah. Chatzer Gadol Shnifetz. If you have a larger chatzah that opens up into a smaller chatzah, Hagadola Mutaris Vakatana Asura. The larger chatzah is Mutar, the Katana is going to be awesome. Neshi Kapischa Shal Gadola, because it's like the Pesach of the Gadol. So we're assuming that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Kosel became Nifratz on Shabbos itself, and the residents of each chatzar were, when Shabbos started, were perfectly allowed to carry within their chatzar, but nevertheless, even though it happened on Shabbos itself, now the chatzar gadol is going to asur on the katana. So don't you see that which happens in the middle of Shabbos actually changes the situation? So Amarabba Emar Miba'od Yom Nifrat. So no, the Mishnah is talking about a case where it was Nifrats before Shabbos started, so there was never a heter at all when Shabbos started. Amarabba Lot. Don't think that that's just, I'll touch up the Mishnah to be maybe talking about a case where it happened Mibod Yom. No, that's the only way to interpret the Mishnah. It must be that Mibod Yom Nifritza. How do I know? Tamaru da Amar, because you told us that by Mine Mirav Huna, that you asked, we asked Rav Huna, by Mine Mirav Yehuda, and he asked Rav Yehuda, Erev Derech HaPesach V'Nistam HaPesach, Erev Derech HaLom V'Nistam HaChalon Mahu. What if you made an Erev, a joint Erev with the neighboring Chatzer, because there was a Pesach between you, or because there was a Chalon between you, and then in the middle of Shabbos that Pesach was closed, or that Chalon was closed, so now do you say that that Erev is invalid, and now everybody's Aser? So Amarli and Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda responded, Shabbos, Kivin Shehutra Hutra, that once Shabbos became Mutter, when it was the beginning of Shabbos, then it remains Mutter for the remainder of Shabbos, even if the Pesach or the Chalon was closed up, and they're allowed to continue to carry in their Chatzer. So it turns out that Rabba was Mekabel from Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda that we say Shabbos Kivin Shehutra Hutra, and therefore in the case of our Mishnah as well, if it was the Chatzer Gedola was Nifritz Alekatana on Shabbos, it would not Asur on it because it was Mutter at the Knesset Shabbos when Shabbos started. So it must be that the Mishnah is talking about a case where it was Nifratz May Erev Shabbos, and that was the whole problem. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will pick up with Itmar tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone. Oops, yeah. Oh, yeah.